is Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Jason Fitz, ESPN Radio. He's picking the Raiders on Sunday to beat the Titans.
What is the spread?
I haven't.
I assume the Raiders are favored.
I pretty much looked everything else up. I have not actually looked at that. Titans Raiders spread. Give me a second. I'm going to guess the Titans are favored.
You think?
Yeah, the Raiders have been stinking. They lost by 40 to the Jets.
They're at home. I bet they're favored by at least.
Titans 2.5.
Are they really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
The Raiders have been stinking it up. Now, I agree with Fitz. I mean, I could see a scenario where the Titans go to Oakland and they blow them out, but I don't like the idea of the Titans traveling out on the West Coast. The Titans have never been a good West Coast traveling team. And Oakland has lost their last two where they've gotten spanked in both games, and Oakland's whole season is on the line, so they know they absolutely have to win this game or the rest of the year is a waste. So
I don't think Carr's ever lost to us. I think he's like, I don't know how many times we played him, 3-4 times.
I think they've only played him once.
Are you sure?
No, they played him twice. Mariota's rookie year, Kendall Wright ran the wrong route, and they threw an interception at the end of the game, but the Titans were terrible. And then the opening game in 2017, they played here, and Malarkey onside kicked to start the season, and the Titans lost that game. So he's 2-0.
Looks like 3-0.
3-0. Maybe the Wizen Hunt year, I don't know. Yeah. But,
anyway.
Titans have been awful anyway, so it's,
Yeah, I mean, the part that scares me about the Raiders is the places that they're good are the places that we're not very good.
Covering tight ends?
The tight end. They are going to, that tight end, if we don't take them away, we're going to be in trouble. And the running back receiving scares me. Running back running scares me. I mean, he's a home run kind of guy. And so that scares you. And then the pass rush on the defense.
Although I will take this, though. The fact that Fitz came on and said the Raiders have no wide receivers, and you look at the health of your corners right now, I'll take a team that has no wide receivers playing Logan Ryan and the Logan Ryan band. I mean, it is.
Yeah,
there's nobody there at corner. Logan's essentially a defensive end anyways. So that is my bigger fear. But I promise back to the Henry calls. Let's go back to them unless you have a thought.
No.
To the Henry calls we go. Logan has been waiting patiently. You're up next on Derrick Henry. Go ahead, Logan.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to share a quick stat about Derrick, since we always talk about him being such a terrible receiver, and see what you guys thought about it. Now, I will agree with you. The volume is not there necessarily, but since Tannehill took over in week 7, I believe it was, Derrick Henry has 11 targets and 11 receptions for 98 yards. So that means 9 yards per reception, which is not inflated in any way, and 0 drops since Tannehill took over. So I wanted to see what you guys thought about that and see if that changes your opinion just a little bit about Derek being maybe a decent receiver. Not great, but if we can get him some more volume, maybe he'll be better with Tannehill.
Thank you for
the
call.
I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
Thank you for the call. So in essentially half a season, 6 games, 6 and change, because Tannehill did play half of that 7th game against
Denver.
So in essentially half a season, Derrick Henry with Tannehill has 98 yards. Austin Eckler has 718 yards right now. So, like, if you want to double that for Derrick, and let's just be nice and round up. So Derrick's 200 yards. Guess how many yards Derrick has now? 200 yards. Austin Eckler has 700 yards. Yeah. McCaffrey, 644. James White, 512. Dalvin Cook, 490. Alvin Kamara, 445. Leonard Fournette, 444. Le'Veon Bell, 403. Aaron Jones, 367. Miles Sanders, 399. David Johnson, 332. Ezekiel Elliott, 326. Like, I'm not knocking the caller there. But the idea of, hey, look, he's caught every ball he's been thrown under Tannehill, that's still only 98 yards. When you add it to a whole season, it's 200 yards, and all the big-time running backs are almost double that right now with still a fourth of the season to go.
And Ryan is trying to get him involved, I think. You know, he threw three times last game, and I think he caught all three. Now they're all a little checked down, 4-yard passes and stuff like that. But, I mean, he's trying to get him involved. The part that... when it comes to running running back patterns is where he's kind of struggles.
You know what's crazy about it, too, is with his natural ability, if he could do that, he'd be the best player in the league. Like, the way he can catch and then run with it, and when he gets out in space, and, I mean, like, if there was a play down the field, and all of a sudden the ball comes out to Derek, and Derek has to make one guy miss, and he's gone. I mean, that's what A.J. Brown's doing right now, essentially, and Derek's better at that than A.J. Brown. The problem is that Derek can't run those patterns and then turn and be there at the time and then have his hands catch the ball, and he can't do those
things. Well, the thing you really miss out on the most is, in my opinion, is Tannehill is doing an outstanding job of getting us in the right play at the right time. And with Derek, you can't always do that with him in the backfield if it involves throwing the ball. And so that limits what you can and can't do. Whereas if you're lining up with an Alvin Kamara and you want to call an inside run, no problem. You want to call outside run? No problem. You want to call a screen? No problem. You want to call a down the field pattern? No problem. You know, anything you can actually get in the absolute best play that you can create, you know, and I think that's a giant plus for a veteran quarterback. Now, if you've got a young quarterback, it's not as big a deal because he's probably going to screw it up anyway, mm-hmm. you know, get you in the wrong play. But a veteran guy that really knows what he's doing by it can go through a game, and if he's running 65 or 70 plays, I mean, you may be in the absolute best play versus that defense the vast majority of the time.
Okay, so this is kind of, I don't want to say off topic, but it's related to this, but it is bothering me, and it is the Titans change out their wide receivers too much. Like, you're talking about changing the personnel, and well, now you can't run this play. I feel like there are a lot of times I'll look down on the field, and it'll be like Raymond and AJ, or Davis and Humphreys, or Raymond and Sharp. And I'm thinking, why are there certain plays where Corey Davis isn't in the game? Why shouldn't Corey play on almost every play? And that's where I'm trying to figure out, you change the play to whatever you want to change it to. Well, if Raymond's in the game to go deep, and all of a sudden you want to throw a little short pattern, well, you can't just all of a sudden change a play and run Raymond off and run Humphreys on the field.
Oh, right.
So that's like, part of why the are they doing that?
And that's part of the problem. If you take, well, okay, you know, however Derek limits what it is you're trying to do, and add to that, well, we've got a new receiver here, and, you know, what about, is Johnu going to know what to do on this play? And is, you know, then all of a sudden it makes it so you're constantly limiting what it is you can do on offense.
Well, like, shouldn't Davis be on the field every play? Unless he's tired.
I don't, yeah. I mean,
there shouldn't be, like, on one play, it shouldn't be Humphreys and Raymond are the two receivers out there.
Generally speaking, a guy will be on the game, especially a receiver, be on the field, you know, 2, 3, 4 plays, and then leave, you know, and get a breath, and then come back and, you know, be there another 2, 3, 4 plays.
But that Davis doesn't do that. I mean, they literally change these guys out all the time.
Yeah, I don't know.
And that's where and don't even get me started on the fact that, you know, the tight ends, you know, the blocking tight end 85, the receiving tight end 86.
Well, and that's part of the problem that we're talking about. You know, if you're a defensive guy and you line up with Derek in the backfield and you line up with the fullback from Vandy in the backfield and
Pruitt
at tight end.
Hey, defense!
Come on up, boys. Come on up, you know.
Now, what if you line up with that, and you line up with Raymond, and then you run a play-action pass, and you throw it down the field for Raymond? I mean, that is what they've been doing a little bit.
Well, yeah. But
they
I
did
mean,
that on the play against Indy for the touchdown.
You're still going to be, I mean, you're still going to have enough guys in coverage where you can double if he's the only guy that's scary.
Here are your receiver counts, your receiver snap counts versus Indianapolis. A.J. Brown, 54.
Out of how many plays?
60.
Okay.
A.J. Brown, 54. Davis, 41. Humphreys, 23. Raymond, 17. Hollister, 2.
Jeez, Hollister must have got thrown the ball both times. The two times he was in the game. There. Yeah.
But I'm just like, you know, maybe that's not that big of a difference. Are you surprised AJ that many more snaps than Corey? AJ 54, Davis 41.
I probably am.
Freddie is up next on Jared and the GM. What's up, Freddie?
Guys, how y'all doing? It's always good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you, Freddie.
Thanks, Freddie.
Okay. I hear a lot of calls calling in about receiving yards to Henry. I mean, if they feel like that man, put some glue on the guy's hand, but he do not need to get away from the Titans. I think he's about the most feared running back right now in the league. And I'm sure them defensive linemen have had a conversation with the linebackers. If he plays that defensive line, they're going to kick the devil trying to get that boy out. I think we should go on and re-sign Derek because he is a big part of the Titans. If he got away, he don't need to get away to no team in the AFC South. If he had to go somewhere, I would have him go to New England. And if he had to go to the NFC, leave him out of Philadelphia because I can't stand Philadelphia. But I want to ask you a question, Floyd. Between Derrick Henry and Eddie George, almost the same size, who do you think could be your best running back? Jevin, Floyd, always good to talk to y'all guys. Y'all have a blessed day.
Thank you,
thanks,
Freddie.
Wow, that's a tough one. I've never thought of that.
How have you not thought of it?
I mean, just off of the top of my head, I think Eddie was more consistent, and Derek probably has more big plays.
That's what Eddie said. I forget when Eddie said it, but Eddie said, maybe it was like a year ago or something, Eddie said, people want to compare, and I'm paraphrasing what Eddie said, but he said they want to compare us because we're big, physical running backs. He goes, compare him to Chris Johnson, because that was Chris Johnson's game was the home run. Yeah. And that's Derek's game is the home run, and Eddie's game. I'll say this, though, against the Colts, other than that 32-yard run where that Colt player took a huge gamble on trying to barrel into Derek's legs in order to take him out, because if he misses Derek, it's a touchdown. And other than that, Derek didn't have any breakaway runs and still ran for, like, what, $1.40? Like, that's maybe more impressive than running for $1.50 against Jacksonville, but one of them is a 74-yard run.
Right.
So Derek is starting to have the 6 and 7 and, you know, those kind of runs that you really want. But
and those, I'm going to tell you what, those kind of runs are the ones that kill teams because they can't. Every time you turn around, it's 2nd and 3. You know, you're saying to yourself, my God, what do we have to do? You know, then you convert the 3rd down, start all over, 2nd and 3.
More of your phone calls, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Plus, Vrabel was asked today how much of an impact Tannehill has had on Henry. My question is, what about the other way around? And what kind of matchup nightmares is this giving for coaches? 615-737-1025. Jared of the GM, we're live from the wholesaling studio powered by RumbleOn.com. Guess who is at my house today? Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Yep, they came right inside that window of when they were going to show up. I actually did the appointment sitting in my car the other day. I said, you know what? This has been a problem. I need to get it fixed. Right there, Hiller was right at my home a couple days later when I told him to come out inside the window. Hiller was there, and they took great care of my issues. They'll take great care of yours. Had a little problem with the bathtub. Hiller was there. Hiller got it all fixed. And not only that, they showed me exactly what I was paying for and why I was paying for it. That's because of True Transparency Pricing. And through December 10th, so we're getting a little close here, if you need a new tankless water heater, you need to talk to my friends at Hiller. Why? Because Hiller is partnering with Toys for Tots to spread the joy of Christmas this year. In addition to a $500 donation, Hiller will be donating $100 in toys for each tankless water heater purchase made. During the promotion, customers will receive an additional $250 off their purchase price to boost donations. Each Hiller location will be partnering with their local Toys for Tots chapter. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. They take great care of my home, and they can take great care of yours. Proud supporters of the Nashville Predators and the Tennessee Volunteers. That's Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Jared and the GM. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
The way that they've been playing lately and the way that Derrick Henry's running, what kind of challenge is that going to be for your run defense?
The challenge, man. I mean, Henry's unbelievable. He never tires. I've got friends in Tennessee. I'm from Tennessee. My wife's from Tennessee. Derrick Henry never gets tired, man. He's just criminy. This guy runs hard. He's a fun back to watch, and he doesn't want to go down. So it's going to be a challenge for us. I know we're looking forward to it. We're anxious to play a home game again, and we're going to need to play a lot better in all three phases to slow down the Titans and get our offense in gear.
Chucky talking about the Titans. Now, the word he kept using was challenge when talking about Derrick Henry. Oh, it's going to be a challenge. This guy, man, he's awesome, man. It's going to be a tough challenge right there. But my question is the challenge that Henry and Tannehill, the duo, is providing for teams. Vrabel was asked today about what Tannehill has meant for Derrick Henry. This is what Vrabel said.
How much does the threat of Derrick, you think, directly correlate to the space that Ryan's finding? His yards per attempt is a ridiculously high number.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I know that you know, we're trying to stay balanced. We're trying to run the football. We're trying to be efficient when we throw it, stay in third and medium, convert possession downs, and get in the red zone and not try to kick field goals, try to score touchdowns.
Vrabel check gives you a non-answer. But my question for you, Floyd, is as a defensive coach, preparing against the Titans, the dynamic duo of what Henry is doing and what Tannehill is doing, does it make it almost impossible for a defensive coach to quote-unquote take something away? We always talk about Bill Belichick will go, whatever you do best, Bill will take that away. Now, if you beat him throwing the ball down the field and you're a running team and all of a sudden, if they get into a game with the Titans, just like last year, they get into a game with the Titans. If Corey Davis is going to go out and have 130 yards, they're probably going to lose. You just have to bank on the things that you don't do well that you're not going to be able to do them in that game. But does the balance between Tannehill and Henry make it almost impossible as a defensive coach to take away everything from the Titans?
Well, it doesn't make it impossible. I mean, it makes it more of a challenge, certainly. I think that, you know, when you play, if I was a defensive coach and I'm playing us, you say, okay, what is the thing that we were the most concerned about? And you say to yourself, okay, if I'm the Raiders, you know, am I concerned about any of these receivers? If so, who is it and why? And that's the guy that you would take out. And the rest of those guys, you're figuring, hey, we can go with. And then, you know, you dedicate the rest of it to, you know, let's say that Derek is the other guy you're concerned about. The rest of it you use to stop the run.
Okay, so I mean, then let me play that game.
Okay.
I the wide receiver that scares me the most is A.J. Brown. I think that's probably fair, right? A.J.'s got big play in him. A.J.'s been the most consistent. A.J. has the most talent. Like, A.J. Brown is where everybody is basically a number two. Davis is a number two. Brown's right now a number two. Humphreys is probably a number two. A.J. is the best of the Titans receivers. I feel that way. If I were, I would say A.J. Brown worries me the most. And then
but I mean, he's not. What scares you if you're a defensive coach is speed. You're scared somebody's going to run by you for seven. Is he going to catch a slant and get 13? Yeah. Okay.
He's caught slants and gone like 70 twice, three times this year.
Well, you know, and that's a risk you come. If he runs a slant, are we going to be able to tackle him? Yeah or no. You know, whatever, whichever you come up with. But generally speaking, you're saying, okay, if he's going to run a slant,
right, like you're worried about Tyreek
Hill. Now, if he's
Hill.
Running it, yeah, is he going to run a nine? You know, is he going to run past me? And that's why a guy like Raymond, when he gets in on in the game, would perk everybody up. Everybody go, uh-oh, you know, pay attention here. If I'm a corner, you know, I'm turning the safety and I'm going, looky here, just so you know. But the rest of the guys, I'm not sure, you know, it scares you. And so you're saying to yourself, hey, what do we got to do? Well, we got to tackle. That's the key. They got some big guys, and they run hard, and, you know, they're not going to run by you, but they're going to catch it, and they're going to try to run with it. So we've got to be do an outstanding job tackling. But it doesn't scare you from, you know, like you said, if you're playing Kansas City and you line up in Hills there, and you know that not only do you not have anybody that can cover them, but there's nobody in the league that can cover them. And you're saying, back up.
So then should Raymond play more because of that? I mean, we went over the snap counts the other day, and A.J. played 90% of the snap counts. Raymond played like 20. should Raymond be playing more? Not more than AJ, but should Raymond be playing more because he would scare the defense and make them back up a little bit, and then that would make it easier to run with Derrick Henry.
Well,
I just think that the abundance of options are what make the Titans so dangerous. And Raymond is a huge wild card in all this, because before last week, we didn't even consider Raymond in the mix, but he did burn Kansas City for a huge deep ball. He did burn Indianapolis for a huge deep ball. He's doing what we all wanted Taywan Taylor to do, to be the guy to go run down the field, throw the deep ball, and Tannehill's hitting him with it. I mean, the way I'm looking at it is, and I said this to you the other day, is fine. You want to put one guy on AJ, I'll run a slant. AJ will push that guy away and go run into the end zone for a touchdown. Okay, now you're going to, you know, move a guy down, probably double AJ, do something, take AJ away from, you know, the big play that he's been doing this season. Well, now I can run Raymond past all your people and throw it deep to him. And if you're worried about that and you back up a little bit, then I can throw it short to Jonnu Smith. And then, of course, I've got the best running back in the NFL maybe behind me. That sounds like it's really hard to stop. and the numbers would agree with me, because the Titans have the second best scoring offense in the league since Ryan Tannehill took over as quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, they've done an outstanding job.
But is it because of the multiplicity of what they're able to do and the fact that you can't just key in on one thing? You key in on A.J. Brown, I throw to Jonnu.
I mean, to be completely honest with you, those kind of guys don't scare you. They just don't scare you. You know, you're worried about somebody that's going to run by you. Now, it doesn't mean you don't have to tackle. It's not mean you don't. But I'm saying, if I'm and forget which team I am, if I've got a physical corner, I'm saying you can play. You take him, get up there, jam him, run with him, go wherever he goes. If he catches the ball, tackle him. Okay. Then you say, okay, well, who's there? Who would I put my speed guy on? You know, if Raymond comes in the game, you go on him. The rest of you guys, I mean, we'll cover the rest of these guys with safeties, you know. So they don't, it's not the fear there. That's like this week with the Waller guy, you better cover him now. And it's going to take more than one. We don't have one guy that can cover him. I mean, he is a beast. And he will, we know what tight ends do to us anyway. He may catch 35 balls. I mean,
I think Oakland Floyd would be a lot more worried about the Titans and give a lot more credit to the skilled position players than Floyd is giving the Titans right now.
Well, sure. I mean, we're the next team.
Right, but I'm just saying, like you're looking at Morgan Waller, and I keep wanting to say Morgan Wallen. Darren Waller. Morgan, that's the country singer with the mullet. I keep wanting to say that. But Darren Waller, I'll be honest with you guys. And you and Fitz were talking about this guy like I was supposed to know who he is. I have no idea who the hell this guy is.
Oh, wait till you see him.
He's like tall, thin, long legs. He's not your typical, doesn't look like Jonnu kind of tight end.
He is gazelle.
Yeah. Was he like Shannon Sharp?
He is maybe better athlete. But that look. He's not a tight end the way you picture tight ends.
Yeah, they split him out wide and do all types of stuff.
And maybe I should be worried about him. I don't know. But the idea that Floyd's like, now this guy is Mama Gemma is real.
He started out the season pretty hot.
Oakland Floyd would be quivering in his boots about Derrick Henry. Would not stop talking about Derrick Henry right now. And I just feel like right now when I ask you to kind of evaluate the Titan offense, you are not giving the Titan offense. Stay on this thought. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll get to Floyd's thought about why Tennessee Floyd is more down on the Titan offense than Oakland Floyd would be. Because Oakland Floyd, Ian, how worried would Oakland Floyd be about this Titan offense right now?
Oh, extremely.
Oh, my God. He'd be depressing. He'd be so down on it. 615-737-1025. Authentically American. That's right. Authentically American. Everything at Authentically American is made in the USA. AuthenticallyAmerican.us. Promo code Jared. That's my name, Jared, J-A-R-E-D. Promo code Jared at checkout for 20% off. They take great care of our entire business, and they can take great care of yours. It's so simple. It is so easy. Just go made in the USA. Everything that we wear is made in the USA with Authentically American, and it's competitively priced with what your company is already buying. Authentically American is about American jobs, it's about American workers and American heroes. They donate 10% of all of their profits and proceeds to veteran and first responder charities. Authentically American has whatever you're looking for, whether it's apparel for your business, whether it's sweat ink for your workouts, whether it's scrubs, etc. They've got it. Authentically American, online at authenticallyamerican.us. Authentically American, promo code Jared, 20% off, J-A-R-E-D. Authentically American, the next iconic brand that is truly American-made. Jared the GM, it's ESPN 102.5, The Game.
Who do you think gets that last wild card spot? Do you think it goes to the Steelers or the Titans?
I don't think it goes to the Steelers because they're playing musical chairs at quarterback. They don't know which quarterback is going to be the quarterback next week. We don't even know. We don't even know these guys. Who are these guys? First of all, I'm happy for them. I'm proud of them. They're in the NFL. They're dangerous. And Mike Tomlin should be the coach of the year with that junk he's putting on the field, and he's been successful with that. But I don't trust the scenario because I don't trust the quarterback. I would never put a dime, and I'm not a bad man anyway, but I would never put my name on anything that don't feature a quarterback that has stability. Not one iota. Now, Tennessee, I like them, man.
Oh, man. For come on, Brian. Reasons. You got the right.
I really do.
Deion likes the Titans. I would not put my name on anything that doesn't have a quarterback. Tennessee, I like them. Which means he likes Tannehill, which means he likes this offense. Everybody is drinking the Tannehill Kool-Aid, drinking the Titans offensive Kool-Aid. Second best offense in the league since Tannehill took over. And yet, Floyd, when we were just going over, you know, you worried about the Titans offense and Henry and Tannehill. And, I mean, you kind of made it sound like if you were scheming up against the Titans, you wouldn't look at them and think, man, this is going to be really hard. I don't feel like you would... But I know that if you were on the radio in Oakland, you would be all about it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're the next opponent, so it doesn't matter. You're going to make them sound like they're the best that ever played. But this was my point I started to make with the Titans offense, is that there's no disguise to it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when they come out.
Oh, yeah, we talked about if Pruitt is in the game, then it's a run. If Ferkser's in the game, it's a pass.
And you know, there are some coaches that just refuse to look at that. But if you're one of those coaches that you're going to take away what it is that hurts, I mean, you're going to look at who's in there. And you know, our personnel probably 90% of the time is going to tell you what's going on. And, you know, if you got Ferkser in there, then the ball's probably going to be thrown. If you got Pruitt in there, then it's probably going to be a run. And, you know, if you've got the fullback and you've got Derek and you've got Pruitt, it may be a play pass, but it's only going to be a two-man pattern. So, you know, you just cover those guys, still put eight in a box and make sure. So I think that's part of the problem. That's why it's so magical what they're doing. Because if you – and I remember Bill Belichick 1 year, they beat us in the playoffs and ended up winning the Super Bowl. And we were talking in the off season, and he said, I was astonished that we were able to go through all the playoffs and win the Super Bowl when we had a quarterback and only one receiver. And during the playoffs, not a single team decided to take that receiver away. And he said, we had no other options. And they ended up winning the Super Bowl through that. You know, doing it that way, and they were shocked that they were able to do it. But guys just weren't going to take away what they considered the biggest threat.
So I'm looking at the play that won them the game against Indianapolis, the throw to Raymond, and here were the five guys. Right, you ready for this?
Okay,
Kelly was an extra tackle on the play. Ferkser at tight end, Henry at running back, A.J. Brown at receiver, and Raymond at wide receiver. So that is a play that screams pass, but then Kelly being on the field screams run, and then everybody ran over to the left, and Tannehill ran to the right, and Ferkser, who never blocks, stayed in to block the pass rusher, the one guy who could have gotten to Tannehill, and that's what opened it up down the field for Raymond. That is a tricky kind of grouping they run out there. But they almost never would run Kelly and Ferkser out on the field at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, they you see, they can disguise that part of the time. But you know if Firkz is in there, it ain't going to be a run.
No.
So you would say, okay,
although if Kelly's coming tackle, in it's not gonna
disguise.
Be a pass.
Kelly's going to come in disguise. But if Firkzer's in there and these guys are, it's going
to
be bad.
Although Firkzer was blocking on the play.
Yeah.
My guess is Tannehill went to the line with the ability to run the ball in that play. That they went to the line on the 3rd and 6, and it was, hey, if you get up there and it ain't there, just hand off to Derek, gain 1, punt. You know, like I think that that was part of the, I want to say the, that was dictated to Tannehill on that play was, hey, if you get out there and it's not there, either eat it or drop it off short to Firkzer or, you know, check into a run, give it to Derek, and we'll just let the Colts call timeout, punt to the Colts, and go play defense. And I think Tannehill's smart enough to be able to look out there and say, okay, there. You know, that, and that's the...
Yeah, he would have had that all figured out.
Let's go to your phones. Tyreekus is up next here on Derrick Henry. Go ahead, Tyreekus.
Hey, how you guys doing, man? I was... I noticed that, man. I remember back in the days before John Gruden went back to coaching, man, we used to listen to him as the TV was on, and we used to listen to him, and he used to talk. Whatever running back we was going against, he used to always say, oh, man, I stopped the running back. I will make this passer beat me. And I have a feeling since he's an old-school coach, he's going to do the same thing in the game that's coming up. But you remember when defense used to prepare for the Titans, the only thing they used to say, look, we're going to stop Derrick Henry. We're going to make Marcus Mariota beat us. And to be honest, Marcus Mariota could never beat him. But I feel like he can't really say that about Tannehill. He can say we can stop the run, but I think Tannehill can still get the job done. But I'm going to hang up and listen to you guys.
Thank you for the call. That's why I think Oakland Floyd would be hammering the point away right now if he were on the radio in Oakland is, you take the runaway, here comes the highest-rated passer in the league. You try to take the receiver away, then they got the number 5 pick at one position. The next guy catches the ball for about 85 yards every time he catches it. Then they got the tight end who no one's talking about who catches it and runs 50 yards for touchdown. Like, that is, and I don't think that that's exactly how deadly the Titans' offense is, but I do think it's somewhere in the middle between what you're saying now where, well, it's incredibly predictable, and the everybody's unstoppable. I think it's somewhere there in the middle.
Okay.
Like, if you were, for real, if you were a defensive coach, would you be worried about playing this Titans offense with Tannehill at quarterback right now? Above the standard line of Floyd's always worried about every team he's playing.
Who scares you?
The quarterback and the running back.
The quarterback completed 18 passes last week. And I love the quarterback, but he is not Mahomes. He is not these guys you're making him out to be. He's not at that level.
I'm not making him out to be that. I'm the one who said all week he threw for 182.
Even if this quarterback stays here and is here for 5 years, I mean, we're never going to lead the league in passing. I mean, with that, those are all dreams. He's never going to be the Pro Bowl quarterback kind of.
He might make the Pro Bowl this year.
Maybe. Who's not going to go?
Well, we got to think about it like this way, okay? So the 3 AFC quarterbacks are going to be Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, and Deshaun Watson, right?
At least.
Okay, well.
That's leaving Brady and a few of the guys out.
Yeah, well, Brady's going to the Super Bowl. So it'll be Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson, and Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes will not play because he'll be hurt, and Watson will not play because he'll be hurt. Even if they're not hurt, they'll be hurt and not play in the Pro Bowl. And then I think it'd open the door up for Tannehill. You know, there's always like a guy like Baker Mayfield who doesn't really deserve to be in the Pro Bowl, but he's in there. I think Tannehill makes the Pro Bowl this year. And Tannehill would go because Tannehill would want to go because he's going to be a free agent. So, you know, that'd just pad the profile for him to get out there and throw a couple of balls. Let's go to Adam, who's up next. What's up, Adam?
Hey, guys. So what I think's interesting, and I think, I don't know why I was thinking about it. Y'all just talking about it, but if you guys know the Titans better than anybody, if the Raiders hired you right now as a consult to put a game plan together to beat them, how would you do it? And I think if you – it's doable. I was thinking about it. If you were to stop Derrick Henry, commit to it, and those guys could actually tackle, which their linebackers are not good. So I don't see it happening. But if you could do that and, like, play real tight on screen passes, it's doable. But I just kind of wanted to see what y'all thought about it.
Floyd?
Yeah, I mean, I would. You have to stop Derek. We know that. So, you know, you're going however you do that, depending on the formation, because you're always going to have one more guy than they've got. And then you take away any of the receivers that scare the heck out of you.
Well, I think he's asking which ones were you take away, which ones scare the heck out of you.
Of the receivers?
Uh-huh.
You know, Raymond.
Ian, is he being disrespectful to A.J. Brown?
I'm not being disrespectful. I mean, I don't.
He's just a possession type of receiver.
Yeah. No, he ends up running for 70 yards for a touchdown receiver.
When you catch a slant and run for 70 yards, it's not the same as running 70 yards and catching the ball.
I understand that, but when you catch it and you can run for 70 yards multiple times in a season, and you know that tells you you're good at that.
You know what they call that? A running back. That's fine. What they call that.
Well, all you do is complain that Floyd Reese does. This is Floyd Reese. All he does is complain that the running back is not a good enough receiver, and now he complains that the receiver is a running back.
There you go. I mean, that's what, if you've got a receiver and your claim to fame is he runs 70 yards with the ball, I mean, that becomes a running back.
I'd rather my receiver run 70 yards with the ball than my receiver be the fifth overall pick and never show up.
Oh, you got something there.
Okay. Speaking of receivers.
Nobody would argue with that.
Speaking of receivers, New England is a mess at wide receiver, and I cannot believe the world we're living in with the Patriots. We'll get to that coming up next. Join ESPN 102.5 The Game for the grand opening of the new branch of the Fifth Third Bank at 2814 West End Avenue tomorrow from 2 to 4. Take a selfie and meet some of the National Predators in Nash from 3 to 4 and spin the wheel for prizes and enter to win a Winter Classic jersey or autographed National Predators merchandise while supplies last. That's tomorrow from 2 to 4 at the new Fifth Third Bank location at 2814 West End Avenue. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Jared the GM, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. The Patriots are struggling at wide receiver. Deion Sanders on NFL Network was asked about the Patriots as the number one seed, and he said, go get Tom Brady a wide receiver, please.
Now, what do the Patriots have to do to get back to the number one spot? Do you think they can?
They need to put we need a receiver sign at the complex.
Yeah.
on Facebook, on every social media venue. So any receiver with some kind of hope, some type of separation, please stand up and report to New England. Please, man. Because all Tom Brady needs is just get a stab.
Yep.
He can get the ball. Tell you he's the best that ever did it. Just get a stab. We're getting guys with no separation. They're starting to double Edelman. The running game is like luster. And you got to give Tom some help. And I hated to see that Gronk says, I'm not playing. I'm not playing in the playoffs. I'm not doing it. Not doing it. Not doing back out there. I'd rather be a Laker girl right now with anything. But Gronk is not doing it. And that hurt my heart. So they need to find a receiver.
So Deion says they got to find a receiver. Then this morning on Get Up, Greenberg asked Ryan Clark a question I didn't even know was possible to ask. This is what he asked him.
Should the Patriots bring back Antonio Brown?
Absolutely, 100%.
He said it.
And this is a team, listen, this is a team we know that's not above cheating. This is a team that we know is not above doing whatever it takes. This is a team that's not built on morality. This is a team that is built on championships. And if you can help me win a championship and you're not in jail, they will take you.
Absolutely.
They have done that.
And maybe you go to jail later, right. But as long as you're not in jail on Sunday.
So if they want to win, if they want Tom Brady to stop screaming at his wide receivers to do things that they were not blessed with the talent to do, you go out and get this dude. You kick the tires. You ask the NFL, will he be able to play? Will he be on the commissioner's zip list? And let him back.
So Ryan Clark says, go back and get AB. Floyd, are we really living in a world where the Patriots are in such desperate need for a receiver that they would go back and sign Antonio Brown, who they already released and lost a grievance to, and who the NFL is investigating, and who tweeted about the owner, and who said he's done playing football, and who, like, seriously?
Now they are in serious need of a receiver. There's no doubt about that. They have, you know, they've had this group of receivers, and they've always had Jules and Gronk. And Jules and Gronk take up most of, you know, the double teams of, you know, anybody you play. Well, that always leaves the outside guys pretty well on their own. But they could get open and catch the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they can't do that now. And so they don't have to worry about doubling anybody on the other side of Jules. So they're doubling Jules on every snap. And they've got an extra guy to do whatever they want to with. Play two deep, play one deep, you know, double somebody else for the heck of it or whatever the case may be. And they just can't get the ball to them. They're not open. People are taking the running back. That's like Houston took away Jules and took away the running back.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because the running back's, you know, a really good receiver. The rest of those guys, they didn't even worry about doubling or anything else. They're just going to take man up.
So I am worried about the Patriots on offense. You know, like they can't get they can't do anything on offense to the Dallas Cowboys, and then Buffalo goes and gets first downs at will in the second half against them. That worries me. I also look at like the Eagles. They scored, I think, 17 points against the Eagles, and then last week Miami scored something like 35 on the Eagles.
Right.
So I'm not saying that. Well, because you play well against one team, then you are here. But the Patriots' offense is a mess right now. But really, Antonio Brown, like after everything that happened with him, we're really going to entertain that idea?
I'd be surprised at that. But what do I know? I mean, I don't think – I think that, you know, initially the defense was playing well enough that they could put up with that. You know, well, we're only scoring 10 a game or whatever. That's fine. We'll score 7 and we'll win 17 to nothing. I don't see that happening now, you know, especially against Houston the other night. I thought the defense was just so average, and I was hoping that they would some way, somehow, find a way to, you know, knock Watson out or you know, Hopkins or somebody and end up winning a game, but they couldn't do it. So
I throw the Houston game out. Like, I don't – they were dealing with the flu. Houston had extra time to prepare. Like, I know that it's going to sound crazy because the games all count the same. But as far as analyzing the Patriots' performance in that game, I throw that out. Like, I dismiss it. Just like I dismiss how the Titans utterly smacked them a year ago. Like, they still won the Super Bowl. And I dismiss the Houston game. But I don't dismiss the fact that they can't score any points right now. I don't dismiss the fact that, you know, let's just say since their bye week, 17 against Philadelphia. Philadelphia sucks. Like, Philadelphia is the only thing standing in between Jason Garrett getting fired right now. I mean, that is the only reason he has a job is because Dallas is in first place because Philadelphia can't win a game.
First place, 6-6.
6-6, first place. And so, again, like, Philly, you score 17 against Philly? What? Then 13 against Dallas? Josh Allen got a first down every meaningful time he had to get a first down on Thanksgiving. He got a first down. Josh Allen is not the greatest quarterback who ever played in the history of the NFL. Neither John Brown and Knox and Singletary and Frank Gore. Like, what? No. Buffalo's offense is not that good. And then the Texans. I know they only scored 28 points. The Texans did. But the Texans, I mean, that game, I was stunned when I woke up and saw the final score was 28-22. Because when I turned it off, it was like 28-9.
Oh, and they didn't.
It was a blowout.
Yeah, they didn't play well enough to expect it to be much better.
And let's add into the other fact for the Patriots. And Gostkowski, now you all know how I felt about Gostkowski. He missed too many kicks for me. They don't have a kicking game right now.
Well, they're going through
the same thing.
I don't
even think they actually have a kicker right now.
They're going through the same thing that we went through. You know, they you lose a kicker, and now you go out there and you're on the carousel. Let's try this one. Okay, he missed one. All right, get rid of him. Bring in the next one. I mean, it's a nightmare.
The flavor of the month in the NFL. Do you know who I think the flavor of the month is, or at least the flavor of the last 2 weeks? Or if you had to say who the flavor of the month, outside of Lamar Jackson, the flavor of the month, he's the flavor of the year, the flavor of the month, Ryan Tannehill. But even though we love Tannehill right now, should we be cautious compared to other flavor of the month quarterbacks in the past? We will discuss. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.